Hello and welcome to the With Love podcast, where everything we say, do, and talk about is in love and from a place of love. I'm your host, Bella.
And I'm your host, Abby.
And we are so excited to go on this journey with you guys.
So sit back, relax, turn up the volume, and let's talk about all things life.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of With Love the Podcast. We're so happy that you guys are joining us today. We are talking about all things friendship today, specifically along the lines of help, I have no friends. This is a topic that is near and dear to both of our hearts. We're going to be talking about what true friends are, how to make friends, being in the world, our society that we live in, what it means to be dedicated friends. Basically, the ins and outs of all types of friendships.
Yes. And I would like to start by saying that friendships are difficult, but I also believe that we were all made for connections. So it is a very important thing to talk about.
Yeah. And I think maybe kind of to start, we could each touch on our experience with friends. I know, like us moving countries, being both in school and church environments, friends can be hard to navigate and friendships hard to build.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, like you mentioned, for me, moving countries from Australia to South Africa, it was in 2008, which is actually a long time ago now. And I was 8 years old, so I was young. But definitely, without a doubt, the hardest part of all of it was making friends. Even though it was so young, you kind of expect it to like be easy because like you're little, you go to school. But it was actually super challenging. And I actually think it's something we can all struggle with regardless of our age, young, old, whatever environment we may be in.
Yeah, same for sure when it came to friends and moving countries. And also something I've only really become aware of post high school entering into this great big world is friends and realizing like, hang on, I actually don't have any good friends. And that's not true for me now. And I'm luckily, thankfully, in a position I can say that. But for the first little while after high school, I was like, oh my gosh, I do not know who my friends are right now. I always struggled as well at church, but not really at school with friendships. I don't know if it was just because like school was a lot more superficial and easy to build fake friends, maybe, I guess. But I think this is also a sad reality many people face when they're in both church and secular environments. Sometimes it's easier in the secular kind of world because people are a lot more, not necessarily like more accepting, but a lot more like easy breezy, superficial fake friendships. And it is something I've really noticed is how we are actually designed for real true friends. And I noticed this year because I never really cared about it that much in all honesty. I was like, oh, it'll figure itself out. But God has really revealed to me how we are created with the purpose of deep connection and deep friendships. And I've kind of gone on a journey of discovering that this year. So I'm actually super passionate about this topic. And we see from the get-go in the Bible as well that God says it's not good for man to be alone. We were never designed to be alone. Like from the beginning, he created Eve and Adam wasn't alone for long. And from the day we were created, we were not designed to live by ourselves on our own journey, hoping things work themselves out. We were designed for real, true, deep, intimate relationships, like in every sphere of life, relationally, romantically, relationally, friendship-wise, family-wise, all types of relationships.
Yeah, exactly. And I think like Bella mentioned after school, like she kind of noticed she felt like she didn't have so many good friends. And I think like when you go through those like transitions or changes, it can become the most obvious because like people are changing what they're doing and life can feel a bit all over the place and it can end up feeling a bit lonely. And I think that's why it's important to know who your friends are and know who you have those close relationships with. But yeah, we were fully designed for community. Like God has given us this innate desire to have close relationships and community is a huge and a crucial part of life. But before we get into that, I thought we could each just kind of share what we think is a toxic friend in our opinion and maybe what we think is a good friend. I don't like love the word toxic. I feel like it's just not nice, but I think there are definitely toxic friends out there. So Bella, do you want to start?
Yeah. Okay. So for me, I have definitely had my fair share of toxic friends. And I think many people have. If we live in a world with sin, you're bound to come in contact with some form of a toxic friend. And I think toxic friends are, I guess, the friends in inverted commas that can't share your wins with you. that struggle to celebrate when things go well or succeed for you. They're friends who walk away, who you walk away from feeling kind of like crappy about yourself and feeling like you need to change in order to fit into their world. Whereas to me, a true real friend encourages you and they make you feel like you're the best, like they want to be around you. They make conversations easy and criticism from them is almost like in a way encouraging. And I think to me, an image of a real, true, genuine friend is someone who celebrates with you, cries with you and pushes you to be better while also loving you where you're at.
Yeah, that's, I feel like it's very similar for me. And I guess it's also, I would say a toxic friend is like someone who's very, it's very one-sided relationship. So maybe you're the only one putting in the effort and they're not. I feel like that can become a bit toxic because it can almost become like a cycle. And one minute feels like they're there in your life and one minute feels like they're not. And then that can actually become really bad for your mental health and it can be exhausting.
Yeah.
And I'd also say like a toxic friend is someone who makes you look bad in front of others. Have you ever like have you ever been in like a room where maybe someone's like constantly in front of other people trying to bring you down or like say little like digs that really are not making you feel good? I feel like that's definitely a toxic friend. Mm. And I also think it's your friend group's meant to make you feel great and meant to make you feel like you want to do things with them and you want to hang out and like you're a great person. I don't know if you've ever been in a group and you've walked away feeling like, oh my gosh, like you actually feel like not nice at all. And I think how people leave you feeling says a lot about whether they're good friends or toxic friends. But yeah, I feel like good friends are ones that have your back all the time. Mm-hmm. They speak nicely of you in front of others. Like Bella said, they encourage you and respect you. But as I mentioned, toxic friends can be exhausting and it can actually burn us to the point of no longer wanting to have that real true friendship and relationship that Bella mentioned earlier, because it's like, it almost gets so bad with no one has your back and it's just a bad relationship altogether. It actually can be so consuming when you feel like that. It can make you feel so lonely and it can just almost get you to the point where you think that's just how friendships are. It's like, yeah. Is anyone gonna have my back? Are all people just fake? Are all people gonna talk behind me? Is like no one honestly out there nice? And I know there's been times for me where I've been let down by so many people and I feel like it always all happens at once, which is just life. Like it will be thing after thing after thing.
Mm.
And it just makes you think, like, is everyone honestly going to be like this forever? And that can be the most discouraging place to be in. And I promise I've been there. But I know that there are good people out there. And I think me and Bella can both testify to that. I feel like it's something we've both experienced, but we really have waited it out and we found such amazing people.
Yeah, and I think it's actually really hard to find genuine friends because very few people have experienced genuine friends and genuine friendship. So many of us, I think, settle for friends to fill our loneliness, but these people that we settle with actually cause us to go down the wrong path and cause us to second guess ourselves and honestly, possibly even hate who we are. I know I've definitely experienced this more than once in my life.
Yeah, and I love what you said, like, it's because people have experienced that and it is what we go off what we've experienced. Like if you've never had a genuine friend, it's going to be difficult to know what a genuine friend is. And looking back at some of the friends or people I've known, I can see now how it was bad for me. But like in the moment, you actually don't realize how bad it is because you feel like, oh, like this person's great right now. And maybe in that moment, there were times where they were great. But looking back, you can see, oh, wait, actually, that wasn't really the best friendship or the best relationship.
Yeah, and the scary thing is so many of us don't realize how toxic friendships are till we have real true friends, which unfortunately not many people experience in today's world. And I've gone on the journey of trying to figure out why that is, and I've actually realized we are living in an independent, individualistic society, and we are centered on ourselves and our own success, wealth, security, and therefore friendships, communities, and relationships as a whole tend to come second place. And that's not how we are designed. That's how the world lives. It's not how we as Christ following Jesus lovers are designed to live. And in Ecclesiastes, it says, if either of them falls down, no one can help the other up, but pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Like we need to get better at lifting each other up, including and building strong friendships. Like all of us, myself included, need to get better at this because the trap of individualism and not wanting to burden anyone is clearly not working and it's leading to levels of loneliness and isolation that we've never seen before. We need to get comfortable being inconvenient because that's how the realest friendships are formed. Like, don't be scared to be an inconvenience to someone and say, hey, I really want to come over for dinner, or hey, I'm lonely, can you help me with this, or blah blah blah. Like, it's okay to be inconvenient sometimes.
Yeah, exactly. And often, like, I think we feel like we're being a burden, but actually the other person is so, like, they want to help. People actually want to know what they can do for each other. So if you put yourself out there, and yeah, you're not a burden, I think people will appreciate it. And I think, I don't know, for a lot of us, I know for me growing up in church and even just in life, it almost is like we can end up knowing a lot of people, and you can say, hi, how are you, to so many people, but you don't really feel like you actually know anyone. Like, there's that deep connection missing, or you don't feel like anyone actually knows you. And this is something I've definitely felt, and I found to be very difficult. And I know I really had to choose who I am going to be good friends with, because it's easy to go around just say hi to everyone. Hi, how are you? But to be real and vulnerable, that's ultimately what will lead to better and close relationships and will eliminate that feeling of loneliness. And that doesn't mean you just have to open up to everyone and tell everyone your thoughts and what's happening in your life. But I do think we should try find one or two people who you trust and who you get along with, and put in effort and make them someone who you do see often and talk to a lot, and eventually you will become closer. And it definitely does take work. Friendships are not easy. Any relationship is not easy. And it can be so hard to find people who truly have your back and want the best for you and won't say things about you to other people. But I know that when you try and you look around and you choose one or two, I believe that you will actually find the right people for that.
Yeah. And I think it can be so hard to know who you can trust, like as you were kind of saying, but that trust comes over time. It's not an easy thing. It's playing the long game, and find one or two people who you could, maybe they aren't right now, but they could be people that you trust, and slowly begin to build that trust. Maybe you'll get burnt along the way, but you can't build relationships without risk. And that's why so many of us live lonely lives, because the discomfort of risk is something that we don't want, and we don't want to have to deal with on top of our already crazy lives. And ultimately, I think the reality that many of us have to come to terms with is that we need to prioritize people. We've forgotten the importance of real community and friendships, and I see it time and time again. In the Bible, it says, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. And without grumbling bit is the hard bit of that sentence. It is seldom done without a, oh, do I have to? Oh my gosh, another thing I have on. Like, I am guilty of this. We live busy lives. I live a busy life. But busyness is the enemy of relationships. The devil knows how powerful a strong community is, so he distracts us with busyness. If he can't get us to sin, he gets us to be busy, because when we're busy, we can't build those connections. And I think to build a healthy community, we need to actually slow down, and we need to get alone with God. We need to get around people. And if we aren't intentional, we can't expect to be in strong communities. Like, intentionality is the key to the kingdom-like community that so many of us crave and desire, because we're designed to crave and desire it. And if you are busy and don't have time to have people over or to hang out or to get lunch and grab coffees and do all the things that many people deem as the only way to build community, it's not. Like, if you have to do grocery shopping, ask someone to go grocery shopping with you. Ask someone to walk the dog with you. If you don't have time to catch up with someone outside of your daily chores, bring them into your chores. Like, you need to do the dishes, invite them over to sit with you. Need to cook for the family, ask them to cook with you. Like, it doesn't have to be entertaining all the time. It can be a simple meal or a simple chat over dirty laundry, a messy house. Like, it's not as complicated as our society makes it seem. And that is something that I think we all, like all of us, need to get the conviction of in our hearts and understand that perspective of community building, I guess.
Wow, I feel like we all need to listen to that again. That was really good. Yeah, wow, Belle, even I'm like, I feel challenged by that. I need to be better.
Same, definitely. I feel challenged by it, and I said it.
Yeah, because it is easy, like, to get caught in your day and do your own thing, that, like, we almost forget that connection matters. And we get to put other
and work. Honestly, though, I just want to say as well, shout out Jenny Allen. The book Find Your People taught me so much about, like, hospitality versus entertaining and what the Bible's perspective on it is. So shout out that book. Just little.
Yeah, I've also been reading it, and I really love it, but I haven't finished it yet.
Well, it's great.
yeah, it is amazing. It's already helped me.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think like we both know that deep, vulnerable fans, BFFs, like we mentioned, aren't easy to find. But I reckon also if you just go be yourself, go about doing your thing, focus also on spending time with Jesus, you'll be amazed at how he brings the right people to you at the right time. And maybe you don't know who the one or two people are who you could connect with right now. Maybe like just pray about it, take some time to think about it. And it will take time. Nothing happens straight away. You don't just suddenly wake up and you have a best friend. But just take time and you'll realize that the right people will come and you will build those special and those strong relationships. And I also believe that sometimes it may feel like you do not have a whole lot of people who are close to you. And I also, this is something that I've come to realize on my own as well, is I think that sometimes God takes you away from certain groups or certain people because he wants you for himself and he is directing your life and your path in a specific way. And if you follow what he has called you to do and what you feel like is the right thing for you to do in that moment, he will bring the right people to you who are going to cheer you on and support you in all that you are called to do. But yeah. I do know there are moments where you can feel a little bit lonely and it can make you a bit, well, it can make me a bit down. But
yeah, you know. I think, yeah, we all have moments of loneliness and feeling down.
Yeah.
But I also think something we need to remember, like as Christ followers, our greatest commandment is to love God and love one another. Like they go hand in hand. In John, it says, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Our commandment is to love as he loves. And this to me is what community and friendship is all about. Like when we fully grasp and understand God's love for us and how abounding and unconditional it is, that's when we can love others optimally. And through that love, we will grow the best, healthiest communities and friendships like ever.
Yeah. And I think it's also important, like, don't put too much pressure on yourself or on the people around you to be your, like, best friends who you talk about everything with. Because I remember someone actually told me once, like, take each relationship as it is. And it's something that's kind of stuck with me for a long time. Because it is important to take each relationship for what it is. Not every relationship is going to be the same. And, yes, you might have a few friends who you're really deep with and you can talk about everything and, like, you just get along and, like, you can share whatever you feel. But then there are other relationships where you might just see them once every few months, or there's someone who's like, you just see them and you have a fun time, but like, it's not necessarily someone who you're going to tell all your things you're going through to. So I think it's important to like, just know that each relationship is different. No relationship is going to be identical. Take one for each one for what it is. And don't put pressure on making every single relationship this super intense and deep thing.
Yeah, that's really true. Each relationship is different inevitably because we need different people for different things as well. And exactly. Like sisters are going to be different, BFFs different, romantic relationships different, just some examples. But yeah. I actually also really believe that the church is pivotal to our communities. And I know it can be fake at times and real authentic people can be hard to find. Like, trust me, I know Abby mentioned it. We've grown up in church around all kinds of real and fake people, but healthy communities, like not outing anyone, obviously no names, blah, but anyway.
But oh my.
I'm kidding, guys. I'm fine. But healthy communities can and do come out of healthy churches. And we are called to belong, not just believe. Like we mentioned it in, I think maybe the first podcast, but The Purpose Driven Life by Rick Warren has a whole chapter dedicated to this. And I really love what it says. And the whole title of it is We're Called to Belong, Not Just Believe. And I didn't get this whole phrase, I guess, and how important church was to belonging until I went to live alone in a country where I knew no one. And I suddenly had no friends or people that I felt I could trust around me. The only place I knew I could find these kind of people that are going to propel me towards God and his plans for my life was in his church. And I genuinely don't know how people find friends outside of church. Like recently I ran into an old friend of mine at a coffee shop and she was hanging out with a friend and I was like, oh, how did you guys meet? And they met online. And then it like took me down this whole spiral and I looked up like how to meet friends online kind of thing, but there's apps for it now. Like there's Bumble BFF or something, which started as a dating app. And now you can find friends in similar areas to you, similar seasons of life kind of. And that is so crazy to me because it kind of shows in a way that we as the church have almost forgotten how to build strong, true connection and fellowship, because this person used to be in church, drifted because they didn't have the right friends, all that kind of thing. But like, we've honestly forgotten how to have fellowship around a table. And I think that our generation, and well, I guess whatever generation you're in listening to this, like, we can be the change of that, and we can see how many people come back to God. And I think also, like, post-COVID, we are so isolated. And that's why so many people have walked away. Like, it honestly, COVID isolated us like never before. And that is always the enemy's plan, to isolate. The devil has seen this opportunity to isolate and to get you thinking it's me against the world, but it's not. It's actually us together for Jesus in community. And I love what it says in the Bible when it says he places the lonely in families. Like, as soon as we say yes to Jesus, we are now a part of this family. And therefore, we no longer have to live these lonely, alone, us against the world lives. All of us in church are the body of Christ, and we act as one family. Therefore, we're placed there on purpose. Like, us lonely people, we're now in a family. We don't have to be lonely. Like, it's almost as though loneliness, I know it's not a choice, but it, like, kind of is, if we choose not to get rooted and fully understand the concept of us now being in a family. So get into a church community, like, create a church community. If you feel like your church doesn't have a good one, you can't build on top of land, like, unless you excavate, dig it out, get good foundation. It's like, when we are our loneliness, our loneliest and our emptiest and most excavated, I guess, as you'd say in building terms, like, that's when we can build the best, strongest foundation for community and for friendships. So I just want to encourage you, get into church community. The church has been designed to satisfy us, like, from the beginning of time. That was God's goal for it. And one of our greatest satisfactions is people and human connection and relationships.
Yeah. And I love that. And I also know that, like Bella mentioned, making friends anywhere, especially in church, is not easy. And I remember there were, just to give a quick story, there's actually a group of people in church who I would have considered, this was a few years ago now, so it's fine, we're all good. But it was a group who I considered myself friends with, and they were all from church. And because I'm just saying this because I think it's important to remember that people from church are not perfect, and there are sometimes things that don't make you feel great in an environment that we think should make us feel great. But I remember we would see each other every week, and even though I thought we were friends, the whole group would almost do these things and never invite me, like, not one weekend. And honestly, it was probably one of the hardest things, because I was like, why would it happen over and over again? Like, just once it would be fine, but it, like, kept happening, and it was, like, obvious and in my face. And I'm not sure why I was like that, but looking back now, I can see how it was, I think, just them not being nice. And I'm actually so glad to have not been part of that at all. Yeah. And I ended up speaking to one of them and just saying, like, wow, like, did I do something? Did something happen? What? Why is it like this? Why does it feel so, like, tense and not nice? Because I will ask questions like that because I just want everything to be good. So I will clear the air. And we actually ended up having a really good conversation about it. And I know in those moments, it can actually feel like, I know for me, I think it was difficult because it felt like I was missing out. And I'm like, why are people being like this? Like, these are meant to be good people. They're meant to be kind. And it can feel like you're missing out, but you're actually, you're not. Maybe yeah. Those people are just having a bit of a, I don't know what was going on. Maybe they're just having a bit of a moment or whatever it is. But yeah, I just wanted to say, like, those things can happen in church as well. And I know it's not nice, but I also know that there are amazing people in church who genuinely do want the best for you. And I think, like Bella said, we are actually all craving this deep connection. Sometimes we just have to be the one to initiate it. And maybe if I invited myself, I don't know, I wouldn't invite myself, but maybe if I had just put myself there, things could have been different. Who knows?
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's so true. And I think, like, it can often feel like we are missing out, almost like you said, but there's probably a reason we aren't invited to those things, whether it's a Jesus reason or a people being, I don't know, people reason. But I do also find that we often wander around confused, like, why don't we have friends? Why are we so lonely? But then we never open ourselves up to the community and to people because we're so close-minded. Like, I don't want a friend like that. Don't want a friend like that. Oh my gosh, no, we're not like in this way, this way, or this way. But we're all alike because we all belong to Jesus. And therefore that should be our biggest connection point. And it's usually because toxic people and friendships have burnt us that we have the mindset of, oh no, don't want to be friends with them. Don't want to be like them. We touched on that earlier, obviously, but we can't let that stop us from building true relationships.
Wow.
Relationships, which I think I have allowed myself to be held back by that. But as it says in the Bible, two are better than one because they have good return for their labor. We need to be there to help each other, build each other up, realize that two are always, in every situation, going to be better than one because we are always going to get more bang for our buck when two or more are together, I guess.
Yeah, and exactly. And I do think, like, maybe you do need to confront a friend who you feel like is leaving you out. Maybe there is something going on, or maybe something did happen that you actually don't know about. It can always be a good conversation starter, just to see where things go. And I remember even recently there was a situation where I felt like I was just completely missing out. And that feeling sucks, especially because FOMO, we all have FOMO. But I promise you, actually, I've come to realize that we're actually not missing out, and you are where you are for a reason. And I wish someone would have told me this. Number one, that I'm not missing out. Number two, that God's plan still stands true, regardless of what people say or what people do around you. And thirdly, what is meant for you will not miss you. Like, what friends you have now, or what friends you feel like you don't have, or what you feel like you might be missing, will not change the life and the plan that God has for you here on earth. And at church, I think it can actually be even harder, because like we almost expect people to just be nice and kind and inclusive, and we almost put this pressure and certain expectations on the people we meet at church, but we forget that they're just people coming to church who are also going through things. And just because you meet them in church doesn't mean that they're going to be a perfect person or super kind, because none of us are perfect, and nasty people do exist everywhere, sadly.
Yeah, exactly. And I think if we go into church understanding that we're all just people, we're trying to figure out life and we're trying to do it together, you will see it differently and you will change your perspective on people burning you and hurting you.
Yeah, so true. I think it is a lot about like perspective and how we see things as well. And so to touch on how to actually make friends, I feel like we should talk about that.
Yeah.
First.
Good point to make.
Yeah. Firstly, I would say always be kind. I feel like people are always attracted to kindness, especially in today's world where there is so much hurt and so much pain. If you be kind, people will notice that. And I feel like that always leads to good relationships.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah. No, I agree. Kindness goes a very long way. And when it comes to finding friends and people to do life with, I would really encourage you to get into a small group or connect group of some sort. Even if it's the most awkward thing on the planet, find one person you know, like, you don't even have to know them super well, but ask, hey, can I go to your Connect? Or do you have a Connect? Or do you know anyone that runs a Connect? Like, it'll be awkward and sticky and risky, but also very worth it. We are designed for comfort. We love the comforts of life. We love not being uncomfortable, but we have to get uncomfortable if we want to have friends that are going to go deeper with us and be strong, deep-rooted friends. And even just this last week, I asked someone to hang out and it turned into such a fun night. I was like, oh, should I ask them? Shouldn't I? Like, I don't know them super well. I don't want them to like think weird of me. And like, we went to some church event, hung out with other people, had good chats, laughed the night away. Like, something I never would have done if I was too scared to risk rejection and not even ask. But I'm so glad I did, because I ended up having such a great time.
Yeah, that's so good. And I think also the best way to make friends is just to be a friend to whoever's around you. And actually, if you feel like you do not have a lot of friends, maybe you need to be the one to initiate something or invite someone over or ask a friend to go do something. And then if it is also important, it is important to look at your own life. Are you being yourself? And are you being someone you would want to be a friend with? And then the Bible says, do to others as you would have them do to you. So are you treating people the way you would want to be treated? Are you being a good person? Are you treating people nicely? Be a friend to others before waiting for people to be a friend to you. And I believe that people will be drawn to you. You'll be amazed at the friendships and relationships you start to form in your life. And just touching on what Bella said about the small groups or joining a Connect group, I know that can be sometimes not easy. And I know maybe you're not in a situation where that's available, but I want to just say, why don't you start your own little group? Like, even once a month, you have like a little dinner party at your house, or like once a week you have like a little coffee group. I don't know. There's so many things you could do. But I think people are actually craving that. And I think if you put out the invitation, people will actually be so excited. And I do think it's also, I know this isn't how to make friends, but I just wanted to say, I think it's important to note that people come and people go. Some friends are seasonal and some do last a very long time. And that's also okay. And I really believe that the right ones will come into your life at the right time for however long they're meant to be there.
Yeah.
And choose a few good ones, hold on to them, and invest into the relationship.
Yeah. Yeah. And touching on what you said a moment ago, like, I think, like, starting the connect or initiating something, I think we need to stop waiting for people to come to us, because if everyone's waiting for someone to come to them, no one's ever going to find friends and community. And it's something we all want. So I think we need to stop being scared almost to ask people. But as you kind of said a bit on investing into the relationship, honestly, the biggest return on investment is seen in friendships. The more you put in, the more you get out. It is risky. It is scary. It'll be good at times, bad at times, just like a normal money investment or house investment. Like, at the end of the day, it is worth it. And the turbulence is worth it, because the return is far greater than anything you could even expect.
Yep. And I just wanted to mention that as much as it's great to be vulnerable and have deep connections, it's also important to actually choose carefully who you do allow into your closest circle and who you do allow to speak into your life. And it's okay to be selective about who you share information with and who you allow to be your closest friends, because even the Bible says the righteous choose their friends carefully, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. And as much as it's good to, like, be nice to everyone, say hi, like, you know, you can have, like, know whoever, but I think choosing your actual close friends is so important, because if you choose people who maybe are doing not great things, it can lead you down a not great path. And the Bible also warns that bad company corrupts good character. And so as much as there are no rules with who you can be friends with and who you cannot be friends with, we all live within our own community every day. And I'm all for getting to know everyone, meeting new people, having lots of friends, but it's important to keep the good company.
Yeah.
And I think with this, it's also important to know who you are, so that if you do maybe hang out with a group of people who don't necessarily live the same as you or don't have the same values, you don't let yourself compromise. Because I think what I've seen is people who I know have been looking and craving for a deep connection for so long that they maybe finally get invited by this certain group that they actually begin to compromise on who they are. And that's really sad and hard to see as well. And I think if you have to compromise on who you are to have a certain group like you or for you to fit in, they're not the right group for you. And that doesn't mean you can't be nice and hang out with them once in a while and be friendly, but I don't think they would be your closest friends, because I don't think you should have to change who you are or what you stand for people to like you. I think the right people and the right friends will love you the way you are. And yeah, it's just important to choose the close relationships carefully.
Yeah. And I think finding the right people can be so hard and so tiring, as you said. But vulnerability is so beyond important. We do have to be willing to risk our dignity in order to discover real, true friendship. To build healthy friends and people around us, it is going to be awkward and uncomfy, but that discomfort is necessary. I said that a bit earlier. But even, like, when I think about this last week, I was hanging out with a different friend, different to a random friend I invited to a thing that I mentioned earlier. But I'm just hanging out all the time. No, not really. But this friend, I was hanging out with them, and I've known them for a while, and I was kind of just being vulnerable and opening up, I guess, about my struggles, where I'm at right now, like, what I'm feeling. And their response kind of burnt me, and it left me really hurt and sad. And it did make me cry a bit, but it also taught me that that friend's obviously not a friend that I can pour my heart out to and I can trust with this or certain information. And I need to be careful what I allow them to speak into me, but I learned from it. I'm going to move on from it. And I still love them and I'm still going to be great friends with them. But there are certain things that I might not tell them now, because being burnt is part of the learning process of building true friendships. And in order to find friends and people I can trust with my life and to speak into me, I've had to risk it. Exhibit A, I just told you, but we can't find the keepers if we don't first weed out the negative ones. And the only way to do that is to be vulnerable and open up. And sometimes their response isn't going to help us or lead to a fruitful conversation, but it just shows us who we can and cannot trust. And on that note, anything else you want to add?
I just wanted to add, I feel like that goes back to saying, like, take each relationship for what it is. Because I feel like out of that, you kind of saw that's not one way you can just pour out everything you want to say. But you're still going to choose to be friends with them and love that person. It just means that that relationship is a bit of one that's not a deep type of one. It's a different kind of relationship. So,
it's going to be careful what I allow them to speak into me, but that doesn't mean that I'm not friends with them anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Anyway, to close out, are we going to do three little key takeaways?
Yes, please.
Okay. Abby, do you want to go first?
Sure thing. Okay. So our three takeaways, mine for today are, one, treat people how you would want to be treated. Two, the best way to make friends is to just be a friend. And three, be kind. People are always attracted to kindness.
Yes, I love that. That's so true. And so mine are, one, love people the same way Jesus loves us. Like it says in the Bible, iron sharpens iron. Let's be each other's irons. Commit to sharpening each other in a loving, caring, and kind way. As Abby said, kindness. And it also says in Romans, be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. So choose other people. Honor them above you. Choose love. Choose people. Even through them burning us, choose to keep loving them and keep sharpening them. And two, put people first. In this hyper lonely individualist world, we need to choose to put people and relationships first. We were not created for ourselves or to live lonely, career, work driven lives. We were created for people, to do life with people. So put people first. And three, risk it for the biscuit. I know I spoke about risking it a lot, but there is seldom reward without some sort of risk. We see that in every sphere of life, and friendships is no different. We need to be willing to risk it all if we are serious about building healthy community and healthy friendships. So risk your dignity for true friends. And ladies and gentlemen, that is all for today on
Yay
Friendships Podcast 5.
Episode 5.
Bye, guys.
Bye. So that's all we have for you today. We hope you enjoyed this podcast and got something out of it. If you liked it, please don't hesitate to give us a little like or a view and subscribe to our weekly uploads.
We'd love to hear from you guys, so feel free to email us at withlovethepodcast@gmail.com or reach out via Instagram at withlovethepod. Thanks for listening, and catch you next Friday for a new episode.